Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Life goes on day after day.
That's Jerry and the Pacemakers bringing us back. Jerry with a G. Welcome back, 23 after the hour. I'm Jim. Blessing Game. Jim with a J. And I am the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Michael Bungay Stainer is our guest. He's a great member of our Brain Trust. And he's a founder of Box of Crayons, which is an outstanding international coaching company. The author of The Coaching Habit, Say Less, Ask More, and Change the Way You Lead Forever. Michael, give us the website, please.
It is thecoachinghabit.com, and there's a ton of free resources. So you don't even need to buy the book. You can just jump on the website and pillage all the free resources.
There you go. There you go. Thank you for that, Mike. Hey, Mike, talk to us about the difference between coaching and mentoring. We talk about mentoring on the show quite a bit over the years, and we've talked about coaching. What's the difference?
Yeah, because they're easy to confuse. They kind of sound like the same. I'm going to say that mentoring for me is like a subset of coaching. With a mentor, you're often working with somebody who's walked the path before you. So they, you know, they've got the literal or metaphorical gray hairs, they've got some experience, they kind of in a position to offer advice and guidance and look at my scars and look what I did. But here's what I think makes a great mentor. A great mentor actually knows how to stay curious as long as possible. Because there is a place for their stories. There's a place for showing their scars, absolutely. But the more you can ask a good question, the more you can ask other people to figure stuff out themselves, and you use your expertise to frame your questions rather than to frame your advice, the more powerful a mentor you'll be. And, of course, what's lovely about being coach-like is you don't actually need to have the experience. You don't need to have walked the path to be able to be an effective coach. I mean, when I look at who I've coached in the past, I've coached the chief of staff for a governor of a U.S. state. I've coached the head of a business unit in Google. I've coached the head of an international design firm. Look, I have no
experience of any of that. You're saying a mentor should have more credentials than the mentee, whereas a coach doesn't have to be.
Yeah, the coach wants to have some understanding of humanity and how leadership works and how influencing others works.
Very interesting way to think about that, which is the only way. Which is really important to understand the difference, folks, because if you're a manager of a company, if you're hired as a manager, or if you start a business and you're managing people, you may be managing people with more life experiences than you.
Right.
And what you're saying is you couldn't be their mentor, but you could be their coach.
And other way, flip it the other way around as well, Jim. So you before the break, you and I were talking about millennials. And you're like, millennials, stay curious. And I think that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who are a little longer in the tooth, grayer in the hair, it's so tempting to say to the millennials, look, young person, let me tell you about what I know. Let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you my advice. And that can feel pretty good. But, you know, honestly, it doesn't often land as well or as effective as you hope it will be. So even though you think you know the answer, if there's a way of holding back on the advice and staying curious and asking maybe one of those seven good questions from the book, it's actually going to make it easier for you to have more impact in the way that you guide and influence this younger person.
Well, the way I try to coach my millennials is not so much to tell them, you know, how they should think or anything, as much as I try to help them put the current content into perspective, into context, because that's what's happening right now, I think, for a lot of folks, maybe not just millennials. We're getting so much content coming in. We're getting fire hosed with content that we're not slowing down long enough to put it all into context. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that's in part the power of the question, because what a question does is it acts as a filter to help you figure out what's signal and what's noise. Because as you're saying, there's so much noise that we can be overwhelmed by it all. And your job as a leader is to go, what matters here? You know, what do we care about? What's really significant to us? And providing context can be essential to that.
Very interesting. All right, I've got a couple of minutes left. Which of the seven questions, you've got them in order, the kickstart question, the R question, the focus question. If you were on a, if you were in an elevator and you had 10 floors, and somebody said, tell me about the most important question.
I don't even need 10 floors. I need maybe 3 floors. And I'm going to go to the question that's number 2 in the book. It's the AWE question, A-W-E. And that's actually an acronym. And I call this the best coaching question in the world. So if people take one question away from it, here it is. It's simply this, and what else? And what else? And it's effective for 2 reasons. The first is this. I can promise you that the first answer somebody gives you to a question is never their only answer, and it's rarely their best answer.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it's a self-management tool. Because Jim, you, me, everybody listening in, we are wired to want to leap in and give solutions, give advice, give answers, and I'm trying to get you to slow down. So if you ask, and what else, you're just slowing down that rush to the advice giving. So it works on both sides of the equation. So that's the habit to take away for everybody. If you're going to try something today, something new, ask a question and then follow it up with the best coaching question in the world, and what else.
Well, that does 2 things. That not only gets them, number one, it stops you from talking.
Exactly.
When you probably shouldn't be talking, and it gets the other person to think a little deeper, especially if you're trying to develop them as a coach.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Or just develop them,
yeah.
Because their first answer is their quick, easy answer.
Right.
When you go in, what else, now you can see the beads of sweat appear on their forehead because now they have to work to figure this out.
Michael, I need your website, please.
Sure. So the book, thecoachinghabit.com, and if you're interested in our programs, boxofcrayons.biz, B-I-Z.
All right, so check it out. Michael Bunjay Stangeter, ladies and gentlemen, and he'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.